Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited today because there's something that's been going around. It comes in and out of the news. People kind of dismiss it as seeming just so outlandish. But after the last 3 years of the pandemic, everything is kind of, you have to really stop and reevaluate what you're hearing and what is going on. And I've heard a lot about euthanasia and the normalization of euthanasia. And I had for a long time been looking for somebody who knew a little bit about this and the normalization of it. And I'm very excited because I found my guest today, Alex Schadenberg, and he is somebody who is calling attention to this topic and really warning people that this is not what it seems, but it is also being popularized somehow. So thank you so much for joining me, Alex, because this is a topic that people really do need to know more about.
Well, it's a topic that is really been promoted in a big way by certainly the death lobby. And a lot of people think of it as freedom and choice and autonomy, but we're going to that because I think that's all a lie.
Yeah, we have to go into that because a lot of things. See, the good thing about, to me, the pandemic, as I call it, is that people for the first time ever had to stop and ask themselves, what is really going on with the medical industrial complex? What is going on with the pharmaceutical industrial complex? And certainly, what is this globalist movement towards what does appear to be depopulation? It's no longer, you can't really anymore look at it and think, just dismiss it as crazy because too much has happened. So what? When did you start looking at this topic? When did it become personal to you that you decided to look into it? What's a little bit of your background that brought you to this realization that you had to really get out there and talk about this?
I've actually been involved with this issue for a very long time, since the 90s. So, in fact, I've been doing this work full time since July of 1999. That's a very long time. So I got involved with this issue because in Canada, we had a few cases. It was the Latimer case that actually got me going. So Robert Latimer killed his daughter, Tracy, in 1993. Tracy had cerebral palsy, and he gassed her to death. And then it went to the courts. But, you know, there was I'm not going to go into all the particulars, but we have a son who's who has a disability, and we were getting involved with the disability community. And I became very aware of attitudes and, how would you say, issues related to disability. And yet at the same time, there was this poll that was published that showed that 37% of Canadians thought that what Robert Latimer did was just fine, that he was just some loving father who felt he had no choice, so he killed his daughter. And, you know, I can understand his feelings. I just can't ever agree with killing his daughter. And I was shocked by the poll results. So I got rolling on this ever since I started talking about it, got involved in it. And this has become my full-time work.
That's unbelievable. I know for me, and at least for people out there, I was never more shocked when I saw, I just moved from New York, but I saw that they passed to be able to have abortions up to 9 months in New York. And you saw the people in the gallery when the decision came down, cheering like they won something. And it became, you know, and that was the first time I started looking at that. And then during COVID, we were hearing more and more about them advertising in different ways for euthanasia in Canada. And I couldn't, but it had opened my mind enough to think that somebody would carry a baby to 8 months or 9 months. And then for whatever decision that had nothing to do with health, it shifts your mind. And then you think, wow, that's happening. So when did it appears that this started to become an industry that is being normalized? When did that happen? Because if you're not paying attention to it like you've been, you might not know. When did that kind of start, that they started advertising it, at least on some level?
Well, they certainly started advertising it. See, it started in Canada being promoted in a big way a long time ago, but the death lobby wasn't successful. So they kept on failing, and they tried several times in Parliament. They failed. So they went to the courts, and they got a very difficult case brought before the courts of a person with ALS, right? Lou Gehrig's disease. And obviously that's a very, you know, terrible condition. There's no one who argues that that's not a terrible condition. So by bringing that to the courts, and they got the Supreme Court of Canada, so went lower court, then all the way up to strike down our laws preventing euthanasia and assisted suicide. But it was legalized in 2016 after Trudeau then became our prime minister. And the law from the beginning, I was very concerned about, because they wrote a law which allowed doctors to be involved with lethally injecting you. They lethally inject you. It's a little different than in the U.S., because in the U.S. you have assisted suicide. I'm not saying there's anything good about that, but in assisted suicide, they give you the lethal drugs and you take it yourself. Whereas in euthanasia is a homicide. They actually kill you, right? And I think that it's never a good idea to allow doctors and nurses to be involved with legal homicide. That to me is just not safe, not a good idea. And you can't say, oh, well, they're all going to be of goodwill and everything. So the original law that they passed lacked definition. So from the very beginning, it was designed to expand. And then in 2021, they got rid of, so it didn't take the Canadian government very long. In 2021, they got rid of that, the section of the law that said you had to have that your natural death was reasonably foreseeable, which lacked really meaning anyway, but it was a terminal illness sort of requirement. So what it ended up meaning is that people with disabilities in Canada qualify almost all the time for euthanasia, because you have to have an irremediable medical condition. If you have a disability, you will definitely have an irremediable medical condition. Therefore, you qualify to be killed. Now, you know, people were all sold this based on the concept of suffering. You know, we're going to end suffering. Right. We're going to provide a way out for people who are suffering. And as you and I know, nobody wants to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I've got no interest in you suffering or me suffering. But what ended up happening when they did this and they lacked definition of the law, what it meant is that people who are going through poverty, people who are going through homelessness, people who are having difficulty attaining medical treatment, you know, obtaining medical treatment, they all qualify for euthanasia based on having a disability. So they qualify, but they weren't asking for it because of pain and suffering. They were asking for it because they said, I can't live like this any longer. Especially if you consider the other effects of the COVID situation, where the cost of rental went through the roof, the inflation went through the roof. There's a lot of people who are living in poverty now, who are homeless. You know, it's gone beyond. The other thing is, in Canada, we have universal health care.
Right.
And everyone will say, oh, it's wonderful. We're taking care of people. We take care of the poor. We take care of the wealthy. We take care of everybody because we have universal health care. The problem with universal health care is, what if you have a difficult medical condition and it's very hard then to find any physician who's willing to treat you? Right. And we've got quite a bit of that. There's a lot of people with disabilities who are saying, I can't get a doctor. I can't get someone who's willing to help me. I have a condition that's treatable, meaning their symptoms are treatable, but I can't get the treatment I need. But I can get euthanasia.
Right. I've seen that. I've seen stories like that. I can't even believe it.
Exactly. I just published a pamphlet, Canada's MAID program, because we call it MAID in Canada, make you feel better. We call it medical aid in dying rather than calling it killing. People say, oh, it's not killing, Alex, it's medical aid in dying. No, it's killing. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I published this pamphlet where I go through these stories, like the story of Madeline, for instance. Madeline has a rare medical condition. She can get treatment in the U.S., but she can't get treatment in Canada. But she qualifies for euthanasia.
Yeah.
She says, you know, I can't get treatment.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, because I personally have dealt with suicide in my life. And I have to tell you, I can only imagine how many people would sign up for that. And because they are clinically depressed, think that that was an option, or people that are addicts or whatever. Now, the problem is also that because of what happened during COVID, we have to understand now that there's this whole mandating of healthcare, mandating this, you know, it's a slippery slope till, you know, well, we can't do it anymore. So here's your option. Now, are healthcare providers offering this in Canada to patients, or do patients have to seek it out? Because once the healthcare system is offering it, I think we've crossed way into the danger zone.
So, in fact, the healthcare system is not only offering it, every major hospital in Canada has what they call a MAID team. So we call it Medical Aid in Dying MAID. So they have a MAID team. So the purpose of the MAID team is they're saying, well, you have a right to this legal healthcare option. And so therefore what the MAID team does, it goes from room to room asking people who are supposedly qualified if they want MAID. So for instance, I got a phone call from a guy in Ottawa, one of our supporters, who was all upset. He was visiting his dad. The family had all come together because his dad was in palliative care. His dad was nearing death. And he was visiting his dad, and the MAID team came in and said, oh, do you want MAID? And the dad said, not interested in MAID, not interested. And so they were all visiting, then they went all down for a coffee. And they came back to the dad's room, and the dad said, excuse me, guys, guess what happened as soon as you left?
Came back.
The MAID team came back, asked me again. We had this case of Catherine Mettler. She's in Vancouver. She was going, this touches home for your case, because what you're talking about, having, gone through some issues. You've gone through issues in your life. You've admitted it. So therefore, Catherine Mettler was going through suicidal ideation.
Right.
And she was such a situation where she felt that she needed assistance. She went to Vancouver General Hospital seeking help for her suicidal ideation. She was in fear of what she might do to herself. And the counselor said, have you considered MAID? Have you considered
euthanasia? Oh, my God.
Now, think about this. This is someone going through suicidal ideation being told, have you considered MAID? It's insane.
And this
but
is
it's
legal.
Sadly, the rail.
It's legal.
Well, it's not only legal, it's happening. And it makes it worse than that. So I got a call from a supporter. Also, this was another one in British Columbia. She was all upset because her elderly husband, who was nearing death, was asked 5 times if he wanted MAID. And she said, how do I get them to stop asking us if we want MAID? Clearly, we say no, we don't want it. You see, because now it's being sold.
Right.
So it's not only an option, it's being sold. Now, why is it being sold? Well, the doctors, there's not many doctors involved in it. Like the doctors on the MAID team, you only need a few doctors on the MAID team to do all the killing. You don't need that many, okay? So there are some doctors who might do one MAID or might have only done 2 euthanasia deaths, but there's a whole bunch of them who've done a lot of it, okay? And so there's now selling it. I got a call from one of my supporters. This is insane, but it's true. I'm sorry, it's true. I can't make this stuff up. One of my supporters called me up, and she was very sick. And the doctor said to her, are you interested in MAID? And she said, nope, not interested in that at all. And he says, well, that's too bad because it's the end of the month. And if you had said yes, I would have set my personal record. I'm thinking, I said to her, that can't be true. You're pulling my leg on that one. She says, no, I'm serious. That's exactly what he said to me. And I was thinking, that's insane. So what it is that you get some doctors who think this is a wonderful thing. This is a fantastic thing, and you should have your rights fulfilled. But the average person isn't interested in this. So they're pushing it, and they're pushing it, and they're pushing it, and this is what's going on. I could tell you lots of stories. You might have seen the story about we had a military veteran with PTSD. He had served in Afghanistan. I don't know if you saw this story, but it was sad because he's served in Afghanistan. He's contacting the Canadian Veterans Affairs for help with his PTSD. He needs a medical referral. And what do they say to him? You should be considering euthanasia. You should be considering MAID. And then they're saying to him, well, others have done it already. So he went to the media. He went to the media. And then our Veterans Affairs Minister said it was just a bad one-off. It was just a bad case. One bad case. But of course, then as soon as you say that and that hits the media, well, then the other stories start coming out.
Right, exactly.
We know that there's minimally at least 2 people died that way.
Yeah.
And then there was the case of Christine Gauthier that came out because she came to the media.
Right.
Now, she was a military veteran. You've seen Christine's case.
Yeah, I've seen her case. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah,
military
tell my audience,
veteran.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, military veteran. She becomes disabled as a veteran. So she's serving our country. She became disabled. She became a Paralympian, won a bunch of medals for Canada. Now she's contacting Veterans Affairs for what? She needs a wheelchair lift.
Right. Unbelievable.
Not an unreasonable request. Is that an unreasonable request? She served your country. She's become disabled. Because she served your country, she became disabled.
Right.
She needs a wheelchair lift, and they say, Christine, if your life is that bad, you should be asking for euthanasia. That's ridiculous normalization that's going on, and that's exactly the situation.
Well,
and
here's this leads me after all the people that I've talked to during the COVID. Many, many, many people have been on here that were silenced and shut down and ended up being right. when we started to find out about the incentives financially on the other side, my good friend of mine, Tom Renz, and Nurse Erin and other people have been involved in lawsuits, FOIA requests, trying to find out. We did find out, and there is evidence and there are suits going through, that if somebody died of COVID, whether they had it or not, we will never know. But they were listed as dying from COVID. They made more money. Also, people were incentivized to get doctors were incentivized for the shots. Yep. Doctors were incentivized for the boosters. So yep. There was a lot of money on the back end of encouraging yep. people to get the vaccine and then the boosters. But even initially, if they died of COVID, they made more money too. Is there a financial back end of this?
Okay, so the answer is yes and no, meaning if you were part of the euthanasia lobby, you would never answer that question because obviously speaking, right. That's not seen as kosher to talk about the financial gains from killing people. Nonetheless, the answer is absolutely yes. And let's go further with it. You know, they did a study around the time of 2021 when they were trying to legalize this Bill C-7, which would expand euthanasia to non-terminally ill people. We have to talk about this next. Yeah. Mental illness was also approved in that bill. And so there's a whole debate because as of March of 2024, will be allowed to have euthanasia for the reasons of mental illness alone in Canada. Anyway, they did a study and they said that the Canadian government was going to save $138 million a year by expanding the euthanasia law, etc. And the fact of it is that it was actually a low ball. Now, why is it a low ball? They were estimating that the amount of time on average someone would die prematurely then, or die early, would be about 2 weeks. So they based it all on, you know, an average of 2 weeks, cost of medical care, you know, that it would be if cost of palliative care, whatever that might be. And they came to this 138 million number. But in fact, we've seen people who are people with disabilities who are living in poverty. We had a food bank, a woman running a food bank in Mississauga, Ontario, come forth saying, you know, I've had people in our food banks telling us that they're seeking euthanasia made because they are in poverty. Now, think about it. If you have a disability, you might be living another 30, 40 years. You're going to be receiving poverty. A disability benefit from the government.
Right.
And now that you're dead, you're not getting the disability benefit. We're not talking 138 million. We're talking billions. Okay. We're talking billions, not millions. And that's because, of course, when you expand the law to allow non-terminally ill people to die, then obviously speaking, that includes a huge swath of people. And some of these people, their social conditions are very poor.
Right.
Because it's not like we're providing them a good life as
exactly.
it is.
Exactly. Like exactly. I mean, that's very terrifying that it's going to be mental illness, because I know a lot of people that I've seen through recovery programs that were like crack addicts, horrible lives, everything, got sober, rebuilt their lives and live amazing futures. That's saying that it ends here, or somebody that is suicidal or is having a break, some kind of psychotic break or PTSD or whatever, that's temporary. It goes away. And most people that you meet, because I've met quite a few in another project I worked on of people that survive suicide attempts, they're so grateful that it didn't work. I mean, that the people that I've met that talk about it, there's a guy that made a whole movie about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and lived and was so grateful. So this is temporary desire to give up for whatever reason, then it's over. And this is giving an opportunity to people that don't even have the time. This is why you have, but you know, in America, they shut down all our mental hospitals. It's too much money. They're putting our homeless people, they're sending $100 billion dollars to Ukraine. They're having homeless people live in tents, which we know they'll never get out. So they're creating this hell on earth existence. And now in Canada, which if it's in Canada, it's going to be in the EU. If it's in the EU and they have their agenda 2030, which is probably part of that, it's going to be here. But that's the temporary circumstance. And, you know, it's funny, in mental hospitals, mental health, is they don't make a long-term decision on a temporary feeling. In this, they're saying end it on a temporary.
Right. Yeah. Once you're dead, you're not coming back. The other thing, of course, they'll say, but, Alex, there hasn't really been a lot of complaints about this. And I say, dead people don't talk.
Right. Exactly. It's just like abortion.
Families of dead people talk, but dead people don't talk. No,
that's right. Right. It's just like abortion, because, you know, they never say that there are many millions and millions of men and women that regret it. But you never, ever hear about that. And this is the whole nother level. And there is a financial side. Also, you brought up earlier children. You said you had a child. I have a good friend, Scott Shira. His daughter, Grace, went to the hospital during, I'm friends with the family, during COVID. She had cerebral palsy. And we believe from the evidence that she was killed at the office, in the hospital, because they signed it a DNR. They did, the hospital, not the family. There was a DNR put in on her, which is, if people don't know, that means do not resuscitate. And then they had her on all the drugs that were suppressing breathing and all of that. And she ended up passing away, which she never should have. And, you know, believe me, he's in that. But you do see. And so when he was on the show, they looked into the DNR and they went into the manuals in this area where they live. And in there, there was a lot of encouragement for this kind of like DNR and ending the life of people with cerebral palsy and other disorders.
People with disabilities, correct.
In the manual.
Yeah. It's what they are typically doing in the modern day. Like in the past, there was this life ethic that every life was considered equal, was valuable. And that's long gone. We have Peter Singer ethics now. So I don't know who you're talking. If you know, I'm talking about Peter Singer. He's he's sadly the world's possibly leading philosopher right now. And he believes absolutely that certain lives are not worth living. That if you have a significant health condition, why would we waste our resources on you? Believes that. Newborns should be able to be killed. He has no problem with that. He says, but he does say there should be a limit on that until 9 months after birth. He figures that if they can't make a decision after 9 months, they should leave you alone. He, of course, believes in killing Alzheimer's people. He's all for euthanasia and the rest of it. And then he thinks this is going to lead to a more caring society. But of course, when you start killing people more and more and more and more and more, what does it lead to? It leads to the hardness of the heart. You stop looking at someone as an equal human being, and you start judging them for their abilities or lack of ability.
Yeah, I think we're there already. In a lot of ways, I think we saw that during COVID, and people didn't believe in that eugenics. Like, people still have a very hard time understanding that Planned Parenthood was a eugenics project. It was Margaret Sanger, Bill Gates' father was involved. A lot of these same people that were involved still in the COVID, at least the financial side of it, including the Rockefellers and all of them, were very for eugenics. And this is just another extension of eugenics, in my opinion. And like you said, they do look at it in terms of resources, because everyone probably has seen that watches me. I played it on the show. Okay.
So you're talking about eugenics, but let's give you a little more history.
Right.
There was an American Euthanasia Society that was very popular, that was doing very well before the Second World War. So throughout the late 20s through the 30s, of course, after the Second World War, it became very unpopular, this concept of euthanasia, after they heard what the Nazis had done. You know, I know someone would say, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing, they're going to argue. Okay, fine. Nonetheless, it did become unpopular because of that. But the Eugenics Society and the Euthanasia Society was exactly the same people.
Right.
Exactly the same people. The concept was, is there certain lives not worth living? And the best thing we can do for human society is to eliminate them. Now, here in Canada, that Bill C-7 I mentioned in 2021, it legalized also euthanasia for mental illness alone.
Terrible.
So, but they put a 2-year moratorium on it. They said, well, it can't start until March of 2023. And then what they did is they were getting a lot of political pressure last year. So they added another year to that. So now they're saying March of 2024, they're going to start euthanasia for mental illness. Now, there's currently actually a private member's bill in Parliament right now trying to reverse that. It's just to reverse the euthanasia for mental illness approval. And that bill actually gets voted on, interestingly enough, tomorrow, October 18th.
Oh, wow.
It's Bill C-314. And so I don't know what's going to happen, because obviously the problem we have is that we have a liberal government right now. And I don't have to get into all this about it, because you guys probably know
liberal. I think that they're globalists.
It's just It's Justin Trudeau. Now, the only good thing about him is he does have nice hair. But I mean, other than that, he's really pro death. I mean, he's really, 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 really pro death to the extreme. And so this is a problem because he also has changed democracy in our country. Justin Trudeau, in the past, something like because this is a private member's bill, so this is not a government bill, right? This is brought forward by a conservative backbencher who said this is insane that we're doing this in Canada. So he's trying to reverse that. Anyway, in the past, a private member's bill was something you could freely vote on. A member of parliament would say, I can freely vote on that because it's not a government bill. It's got nothing to do with government policy. I can freely vote on that. But, you know, not anymore. Under Trudeau, it's like it's a whipped vote. Wow. It doesn't matter that a lot of liberals have said, I don't want to support euthanasia for mental illness. We just had a poll come out showing that 28% of Canadians support euthanasia for mental illness. 28%.
Are you serious?
As bad as that is, 28% supporting, it still is only 28. It's not 72,
that's
right?
That's bad. No, but because that's what I'm saying. In America right now, when people fight over having an abortion at 9 months with no reason whatsoever, that, like you said, and in some places past 9 months when they're alive, and people thinking that they march in the street, some of these liberal groups, the women's march, and cheer it on. They cheer like it's so crazy, but it's like, it's incremental.
And how does that make you feel as a woman?
Terrible. But it's also incremental. It's
saying they're representing you. Yeah.
And it's coming. What you're saying is coming here to America. And people have to understand this is the march towards that. And what's so sad is I know a lot of people. I spent a long time in Hollywood. I know a lot of people who hit rock bottom more than once and would have easily, if coerced at the wrong time. We see them all the time. They don't have mental hospitals now, really. The ones that they do, they're not funding them well. So, I mean, that's going to be the option for a lot of people that don't see a way out, but it's temporary and it's going to become permanent. Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, and my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now, and I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends, and I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
That's exactly. And I already told you about the fact that people with disabilities have been dying by euthanasia based on poverty and homelessness and an inability to receive medical treatment. You know, the waiting list to receive mental health care in the province of Quebec is right now 5 months.
Oh my God.
So if you're identified.
Oh, crazy.
Well, remember, we have universal health care. So that means stand in line. That's what it means. But I mean, if you're identified as needing mental health care and you have a physician who's referring you, you're going to wait 5 months minimally before you're going to be getting treatment. Yet, according to the law that we've passed on euthanasia, once this begins in March of 2024, you would have to wait 90 days. Because the law that they passed in March in 2021 said that if you're not terminally ill and you're approved for euthanasia you have to wait 90 days. But if you are terminally ill, you can have a same day death. But if you aren't terminally ill, you have to wait 90 days. So you'd have to wait 90 days to die, but you can't get treatment. The other thing about the law, which even makes it more insane, is as much as this seems so insane, as much as I'm saying to you, you can't make this stuff up. If I were to have told you this a few years ago, you would have said, Schadenberg, you're just extreme.
Right.
But in Canada, you don't have to accept medical treatment. So if you want euthanasia and you're approved for it, such as euthanasia for mental illness, you don't have to accept medical treatment, even if that treatment were of benefit to you and might cure you. That's insane also. It's all insane because it's all about killing.
Yeah, it's all then about
they say
killing.
It's about your body, your choice. They say it's your body, your choice. It's your autonomy. And yet how the law works is the doctor decides. It's about the doctor deciding. You might request it. But as you've already said, there's lots of times you go through a low time. Now, back to it, I mentioned about people with disabilities not being able to get medical treatment, living in the streets, poverty.
Even a mental break, or you have, it could be circumstantial. A lot of times when I try to help people, which I do try to do, a lot of times it's circumstantial or it's like temporary or it's a setback. And there's options and tools, but people in the moment can't see that. If they could, that's why you put people on medication, which you should be on temporarily is the point. But the goal is to get them off of medication so that they can get back to their lives. Here, it's a death sentence. I've known so many people over my life, including myself at one time, that really looked at it and thought, I want an easier way out of this. I don't want to live like this. And you don't, there's no second chances here. Now, what are you doing? You have a whole group and everything. Are you getting a lot of support? Are people understanding how dangerous this is? I mean, it's an industry. People have to understand. You call it the death industry. Can you explain what you're saying when you say that? You've been working on this a long time. It's obviously very obvious. What I was going to say before is Ted Turner one time was in an interview saying that he just thought that, a billion people is enough. And whatever they can do. And then we watch this whole thing, the plandemic, and people have to understand, you were talking about that guy, Singer and the natural resources.
Peter Singer. Yeah.
And all of that. These people think that, and these happen to also be the people with the poison Ivy League degrees and the billions of dollars that come from these worlds. They're in the multinational corporations and they think this.
They absolutely think this. So you have the whole death lobby. And the interesting thing about it is it's very influential because, people say, well, why do people want this? And I say, well, wait a second. There's two different things here. There is the lobby, the main group of people. Right. They're very anti-human. So they're very anti-disability. They would say that person's life, they're just costing us money. They're very harsh and hard, even though they sell themselves as progressive. There's nothing progressive about it. It's all regressive. Right. It's not in any way human. They say we're going to create human equality. No, this isn't about equality when you get the right to kill somebody. When your doctor has the right and law to kill you, that's not about equality anymore. Sorry. No. But then there's the average person who's made to be scared. So when we were legalizing euthanasia in Canada, there was every single day another article in the newspaper was somebody who was going through a difficult health condition and suffering. And the answer was always euthanasia. Well, guess what? It's that trickle effect. You hear that enough. And suddenly you start thinking, I don't want to die that way. Hey, Alex, I agree with you. This is a bad idea. But guess what? I wouldn't want to die like that. And I'm saying you don't need to die like that. They're just trying to scare the crap out of you so you can support killing. That's what they're trying to do. And of course, you're human and I'm human. I don't want to suffer. I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't want my doctor to kill me either. And I don't want him to have the power to kill me.
Right. And a lot of these people, especially the eugenicists, because we know this from Nazi Germany, but worse than that, it's still going on all over the world. But they look at people in Africa or in South America or in the Middle East, this group, especially these people that are into this transhumanism, into this life extension, into this eugenics, euthanasia. They look at those people as not only that they're wasting resources and space, but why would they want to live is what they think in their head. These people, they don't need to live like that. It's too awful the way that they don't know these people. They're looking from up here down there and thinking, well, look at that. It's just like, the contraception or what a lot of people believe is that a lot of people were sterilized and are being sterilized to not procreate because of the same mentality of these people. And it's real. And people have to know that. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is what this does to because I'm a strong believer in God, and I believe that everyone is born in God's image with unalienable rights that can never be taken away. Natural law is what I believe in, and what this does to society too. We have a serious satanic evil situation going on. I happen to believe what's happening on planet Earth, especially against this globalist, what I call the globalist billionaire cabal, is good versus evil. And there is something that happens in society and culture when this is normalized. And I look at the even the Bezmenov interview where he talks about dehumanization, demoralization, normalization crisis. Normalizing this to the point that you're talking about, that it's advertiser, there's people coming to your room. What does that do to the psyche of society? I mean, this is a whole, this is all devil satanic stuff to me, honestly.
Well, I agree with you. I think that what's happening more and more is you have the person in general who feels they just don't know how to react to these things anymore. It's becoming, and I do agree that one thing COVID did do is it woke up a lot of people to say, what's going on here? Right. But in general, it's very hard to deal with these issues because we're sold what I call a lie. And the lie is repeated over and over and over. It's the big lie. And we hear it constantly. And by hearing it over and over again, you come to believe it. And that's exactly what's happening. So you look at the polling, you look at the changes. There's a lot of people who they just can't seem to see the reality. So they're living in a bubble of untruths.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do you burst the bubble becomes the question. So that's how the average person is. Obviously, the leadership is trying to create that. The people who are pro-death, they're trying to create this and build this bubble and maintain their bubble and continue with the lie over and over again. You hear this constantly. And yet the fact of it is simply not true. Now, you know, here's what kills me about this is that the disability community, in the case of euthanasia, are very opposed to euthanasia. Their leadership has always been very opposed. You know, and they recognize what this means for people with disabilities. You mentioned about eugenics earlier. I always say, well, eugenics never went away. It's just put on a new set of clothes. Right. Now it's almost worse, because now they're convincing you that you shouldn't be alive, right, that you are better off dead. Now they're convincing you you're better off to do these things to people rather than, isn't it terrible that someone did that to somebody without their consent? Now they're convincing you should be consenting to this.
Yeah.
You see, it's pretty insidious if you start thinking about that, and that your life isn't worth living, and that certain other lives are not worth living either. And when you say that enough, there are certain people with disabilities who might agree, but even if you consider it further, right now it's, let's put this in perspective. How expensive is it to live in Toronto now? It's insane. It's insane. So imagine if you're a person with a disability living in Toronto. How are you going to live? I think of my own son. My own son lives with another son of mine. So he lives with his sibling. He can afford to live because he lives with a sibling. If he were to live alone, and I don't live in Toronto, if he were to live alone, I don't know how he'd do it. We'd have to, I guess, subsidize his life.
Right.
We wouldn't have a choice. But what if they don't have that?
Right.
And this is the reality. You get people saying, like, I have $50 a month to live on. That's what I have. Right. I get my disability payment. I pay my for my rent, heat, hydro, whatever. And I've got $50 a month to live on.
Yeah. And if you look at their, I don't know, I do a lot of work.
And I'm not a leftist. I just have a heart to say, no, that's just wrong.
I'm not either. I think they're both totally full of it. But what I do believe, though, is that this is a real slippery slope, because I've done a lot of shows on this Agenda 2030 and these 17 Sustainable Development Goals. And I'm telling you, I think that this is one of them. And it's about depopulation. It's about controlling the population. It's about deciding who lives and dies, who can procreate, who can't. It's full track and trace surveillance. It includes this. It includes normalizing this. I know people don't want to believe that, but it does, in my opinion. And then also, the other thing is, I just remembered because you're talking, is that I think it was in Vogue, one of the really snooty magazines that people get. I don't get, but they're out there. I think I was at the airport, and I read an article, and it was about a really nice retreat that a man, a very wealthy man and wife, he decided to kill himself. And he went on a vacation to, I believe it was in New Zealand or somewhere, to die.
Switzerland. Yeah.
Oh, Switzerland. But it was like the article was in like one of these very expensive snooty magazines, making it look very glamorous. I just remembered that. And I remember thinking, is this real? And I remember thinking that because like the wife was interviewed and like how she kissed him goodbye and the five-star chef. And this was an actual article that I read, and it was, and at the end it was like he did what he wanted to do, maybe at ALS or something, but I remember him glamorizing it like it was an elitist trophy of some sort.
Now they're promoting couple suicide, so they're saying because let's say the husband is sick but the wife is, you know, she's got a few issues because she's older but she's not really sick, and they want to die together because they love each other so much they want to die together. So they go off to Switzerland or wherever. But now we have this in Canada too, where they go off together, they can hold hands as they're injected. And you know, we decided to approve the wife because, you know, she had some issues, but he was terminally ill, so that wasn't an issue. It's all craziness, but of course it's all about killing people. The only case that actually provided a bit of humor for me, and it's not humorous, but there was a case in 20 years ago, there was a case where this couple from Vancouver went to Switzerland to die by assisted suicide, and he had the illness, she did not, and they wanted to die together, and they were turned down. They were both told, no, you know, the wife isn't sick, so we're not going to do it. What ended up happening is she ended up dying a natural death. And he got remarried.
There you go. Well, that is exactly. That's why it's so crazy to even.
I'm sure laugh at it, but it's true. It was true. Couldn't make it up.
I know, but you can't make it up. But that's how insane it is. Is it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, you know, or something that can be treated. And this also goes back to the mental health thing. You know, the last thing I wanted to ask you, because this is a whole nother conversation, but I wonder. You know, a lot of what they're doing, you're talking about the normalization, like the global's big lie. If you say it often enough and normalize it enough, people start to think it's normal. And then they think that that's an option without even thinking about it. Because we have this situation going on with the transgender, non-binary, children changing their genders when they're very young, not when they're an adult, and all of this. And the idea that there aren't two genders and all of that. And a lot of my friends, people that I've had on that talk about that topic, they say that it's about a genderless society, but it has a lot to also do with not having children, procreating and all of that. It seems to all kind of fit into the same mold. I wonder if, because you follow this, I wonder if it's the same people funding this. I wonder if it comes from the same kind of place, if that death cult that you're talking about, that the death industry is connected to this. I bet they are. I'll have to look into it. Do you have any idea if these are related? Because that's really, to me, about not having families, not having God, and not having children.
So I really focus on euthanasia and assisted suicide. And I try and avoid some of these other issues, especially now in Canada, where it's becoming illegal to even talk about it.
I know, it is true. It is true. Yeah, we're good friends with the pastor there that just... that has been tortured.
If I were to talk about it in some way, there would be people who would suddenly... banish me off to the farthest. So I'd rather not comment on it at all.
Yeah, you don't have to, but you know what? Your non-comment is a comment, and that's scary because the American people better realize that that's coming here. I forgot that you guys now have the thing that with the streaming and alternative media, which is coming here.
Oh, yeah.
Coming
well, the
here.
Whole thing about the streaming, like on Facebook, you can't, and X, you can't promote any news items anymore. It's all been taken away. The government is controlling things so much now.
Is there any pushback in Canada? We don't see it.
There's lots of pushback to that in Canada, but the problem is you have to get rid of the guy with the nice hair first.
Well, you
and
will.
Because the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition is not a charity, I can say those things. We're a nonprofit corporation, so I can say those things. If we were a charity, I'd lose my charitable number for talking that way.
Can you tell my audience where to follow you, how to find you, how to support you? I'm sure. Listen, my audience right now is watching this in disbelief, I assure you, because this is it's coming here. This is a globalist agenda. It's coming here if we don't pay attention to what's going on in Canada. Everything in fact, so far has.
This Friday, they're debating an assisted suicide bill in Massachusetts this Friday. So
get
there you
out
go.
Of here.
It's just oh rolling. Yeah. Anyway, the fact of it is that okay, Euthanasia Prevention Coalition is easy to find. You Google us, Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. Also, my blog is the largest source of information on this issue in the world. And so if you go to my blog, you can either Google my name, Alex Schadenberg, or you can go to the website of Euthanasia Prevention Coalition and click on the blog. Is well over 5,200 articles that have been written and published there. I've been maintaining it since 2007. I mean, so, you know, the fact is it's the most widely read source of information on euthanasia suicide in the world also. And the fact of it is this is a worldwide phenomenon because and now I'm speaking all over the place. So I'm going to be speaking next month in the UK. And so I'll be in London, England. I'll be in Ireland. I'll be in Jersey and Isle of Man and speaking about this issue. I was just in Germany because Germany is debating assisted suicide. And when I finished my talk in Germany, I said to them, don't follow Canada's lead and don't redo your history. Don't do it again.
Exactly.
Because you know, the younger ones, even in Germany, don't know their history.
I know, on purpose. But Alex, you're a real hero. I bet you've saved a lot of lives and I believe you will save a lot more. Please, everyone, please, all of his links are below. Go to his websites, read what you can, get the information out. If it's coming to Massachusetts, it's coming all over. And listen, we have to start paying attention. Things that are going down in Canada have been showing up here not too far after. So please go visit Alex. And again, your website is?
EPCC.ca, Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. I'm going to make one other comment. I know we're coming to an end. It's what's happening in Canada. You got to watch out. We had those forest fires last summer and the smoke was creeping into the U.S. And they were shutting down events because there was too much smoke. Euthanasia is like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I remember that. Okay. EPCC, go to that website, .ca. And, thank you so much, Alex. Keep us abreast. If anything comes up, I'd love to have you back. So let me know what happens. And if you see it happening here and creeping into here, into our healthcare system or our sick care system, as I call it, please let me know. Thank you so much.
American Medical Association is debating it right now, too. Anyway, let you go.
Oh, God. Please, everyone, go to his website. Go read some information. Tell your friends. We got to stop this. Once it starts, it's hard to stop it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Hi, Hi, guys. You know, for months and months, me and Mike Al have been talking about the water supply. What is in there? There are pharmaceuticals in the water supply. There are all these chemicals, lots of pollution. We've had all these natural disasters that leave our water not nearly as clean and certainly not as God intended. We know how important water is for our health. So we have been on a mission to try to find the best alternative to the water that is out there, including bottled water, which, of course, we did a whole show on everything that's in bottled water, which is almost as shocking as what's in our natural water now. So we found the best partner we could in Healthy Hydrogen. This is a portable bottle that I use all the time, but also there are many options over there. You can get a full house system. You can get a tabletop system. You can get for your shower, for your office and business. They have so many great options. If you go to themelkshow.com, we have partnered with them. So it's on our partners page, Healthy Hydrogen. I am telling you right now, the difference in this water and what it will do to your health in general is incredible. If you have inflammation, your immune system has problems, anything that you are thinking you don't know the solution for, this could be the game changer. We've been looking for the missing piece, and I believe the missing piece is the water. We are so excited. They have so much science backing all of their products. They have been tested by all different groups out there that do this for a living and look at water really in depth. We have the hydrogen aspect, which is truly fascinating. Nothing is more important than water. We all know that. So make sure you're putting the best water in your body. And I assure you, this is a true, true game changer that you will see right away and will improve your health and your family's health going forward. Go check out the Mel Kay Show partners page, Healthy Hydrogen, and get your health back from the inside out, starting with God's great water. We will see you soon. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the show.